If you want to go ahead and make your way back to your seats, do it anyway.
Where's your wife?
Ah. Good. Yeah, it's pretty hard.
She taught me a secret once. She said if you talk in very low tones, people think you're saying something interesting, but they can't hear you.
The problem is they're not looking, so they wouldn't even know. I've heard that too.
Yeah, it works with a classroom of 30, but I don't know about this class.
No, this bunch is, yeah. Cause see, look at what one of them is back there. It's okay. I don't have anywhere to be, so. Oh, see, that quieted him down. Well, good to see you all here this morning. This lovely, brisk spring day.
It is March.
Believe it or not, it is March, yes. Oh, hey, Bill. Okay, the last time you did that, that didn't help either. Spring sweatshirt. Oh, okay. Nice. All right, well, modern technology is pretty amazing, so we're gonna hear from Kelsey this morning. She sent this video out this week.
Paris, big thank you to Pastor Kevin and the Missions Committee for letting me make this video and share it with you guys. I just want to give you an update on what I'm up to as a missionary in France. And so right now I'm actually staffing a backpack discipleship training school, which is a 6-month program where we seek to know God and make God known. And so right now we're just wrapping up our lecture phase of the school, and we're about to head out on outreach into Europe to tell people about the Lord. And so I'm really excited. I get to be a head leader of an outreach team this year, which is a really big honor, but it's a big responsibility as well. I get to plan where we're going, how we're getting there, what we're doing once we get there, and take care of the students and just the team in general as we're on outreach. So it's a lot, but it's really fun because I get to depend on God, and that's one of my favorite things to do. So I'm really looking forward to it. But I just want to fill you in on what we're doing. So 5 weeks we'll be in Spain and Portugal, doing a pretty intense hike. It's called El Camino de Santiago, and along the journey our ministry is going to be just talking to fellow hikers. And the crowd that does this trail typically are people who are soul searching, seeking their purpose in life, really open to deep conversations and asking questions. And so I'm really hopeful to be sharing the gospel and sharing my testimony and encouraging my teammates to do likewise. And then we'll be hiking 20 to 25 kilometers each day, and then we'll get to a hostel and just do life as a family of Christians. And so I'm really hoping to just model who God is and to invite people into our family. So sharing dinners with them and leading Bible studies, just even praying for people and encouraging them. I think we're going to be quite a source of light on that trail. So I'm really excited for that. And then we'll be heading to the Balkans for 6 weeks after we're done in Spain and Portugal. And so we'll spend 2 weeks each in Croatia and Montenegro and Bosnia, where Admir's from. Shout out to Admir. And in the Balkans, we'll be partnering with a couple different churches. So we're looking at doing just pastoral care and support of the churches, but also presenting sermons and leading Bible studies, leading discipleship training times, also doing English teachings and camps, and then seeking to just do a variety of ministries, so like prayer walking and free hugs and whatever God will call us to do, worshiping, just doing some spiritual warfare in the land. And then after we're done in the Balkans, we'll be heading back to Paris and wrapping up the school, so graduating the students, these disciples who have really been trained in what it is to know God and to make Him known. And so part of the outreach is finances, and so I would just really ask that you would pray about just considering donating to me. I would really appreciate any support I could get, but also just prayer support is so key, especially as we're going to some darker places in Europe. Eastern Europe can be pretty heavy, and I went there last year, and I'm really excited to go back because I know God wants to do amazing things in those lands. And so I really appreciate your support. I love you guys. I really miss Suncrest. I miss the church and the snow. We've got some rain here. But God is faithful. God is good. And I pray you guys are doing well and are just enjoying the family that you are. But I do ask that you would pray about donating. I still have about $1,500 left to raise. But I know God's providing. And I love you guys. I miss you. And I pray that you are finding yourself blessed today. Bye. Hello. This is Kelsey from Paris. Big thank you to Pastor.
She says in 3 minutes what most people would take a half an hour to say. So, you know, it's. But that's. What's that? Close in prayer, yeah. You're going to be here like every week now, aren't you? Yeah. So along with that there's some prayer cards that have been made up for her now, and so back in the hospitality area, there's a prayer card with her picture on it and some information on there. So, you know, grab one of those, stick it on your fridge, pray for her every time you look at it, because I know you go in the fridge a lot. So, you know, that's a good place to put it. So, I'm going to go ahead and go through some of the announcements now, not do it after communion. So. We still are in need of greeters. Again, probably one of the simplest things to do around here. Just stand at the door saying hi. How you doing? Good morning. You know, shaking a hand, whatever it might be. And there's sign-up sheet in the back there where you can sign up for that. It's just, it makes a good positive effect, not only on new people, but on the rest of us. You know, it's nice to have somebody greet you at the door when you come in. And our new coat rack is being used. I noticed this morning, I think there was only 4 spots left. So obviously people have seen it and are using it. So that's awesome. Thank you to Bruce Georgian for putting that together for us. And really, really appreciate that. And then our parking situation again. Just again, another reminder that, you know, if you're more than capable of walking and doing stairs and those kinds of things, you know, don't park up here. You know, allow this space up here for those people that can't do stairs. And with our parking lot situation, it's dangerous walking across the parking lot. It's almost worse than driving. So just by way of reminder, the adult class, there's a new class starting today called Experiencing God. And that'll be in the conference room back there. Pastor Aylor's leading that. And you can join that. You can talk to him about that. And then just some opportunities to serve. PowerPoint person specifically for second service. Also, we'll be needing people to make coffee and clean all that up starting in April when I'm not here. And let's see, what else? Oh, sledding party today. In the beautiful, warm weather. Although I guess if it was warm, you couldn't sled, right? Because you wouldn't have snow. So it is sunny. It's very sunny. And then so next Sunday is going to be our brand new kickoff for our second Sunday brunch. So that'll be at 10 o'clock. So, you know, first service people, you know, bring your stuff with you. Second service people, you can come a little early. And we're really encouraging, you know, bring a little extra and invite somebody that's sitting next to you that maybe isn't going to come because they feel bad they didn't bring something. So, Julie.
So the night before, we're doing a family movie night. So that Saturday night, invite anybody. Invite your neighbors, invite your friends, and then hopefully we can use that as an opportunity. There's
Right, so Saturday night here.
Yep.
Okay.
Free popcorn.
All right.
Amen.
And then again, just a reminder of your connection cards that are there in the pew where you can put any new information, update information, prayer requests, praises. You can put that on there. Good way to communicate. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. And it is, the sunshine is beautiful. And there's even some heat coming out of it. And we're grateful for that. We know spring's coming. And Father, I want to pray right now, though, for the runoff. Because it could be, if it happens too quickly, it could be some major flooding. And so just praying that your perfect timing, just take that down in the right timing. And I just thank you so much for all these people that are here this morning. And Father, help us to really feel as family, to really be willing to encourage one another, to lift one another up, to bear one another's burdens, and we can't do that unless we know what they are. And so I just pray that put our pride aside, and if there's stuff that we're dealing with and we need others to come alongside, we're willing to come and ask for help, ask for prayer, so that we can bear up one another. And Father, I pray this morning we would be hearing your voice. Holy Spirit, speak. Use me as your vessel and speak to the hearts and the minds of your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Communion Sunday, as I was kind of doing some research and trying to come up with kind of where I wanted to go this Sunday, one of the things that struck me was that term, communion. But before we go there, let's go ahead and read this section, 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23. This is the section that we usually use when we're talking about communion or the Lord's Supper. So this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians, and he says this to them. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he must, he is to eat the bread and drink the cup, examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number have died. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another." So we generally call this communion. And I got to thinking about what does that word even really mean? And so I started looking through and doing some research to find out what this term meant in light of, how we celebrate communion. And one of the things I came across was the Apostles' Creed. Some of you may be familiar with that. It's usually spoken at some of the denominations. And so this morning, we're going to say it together. It's up on the screen. It's also in your handout. So if you will say this along with me: "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. One of the things I want to point out, and you see there on the handout, the Catholic Church just means the universal church, not the Catholic Church. But the thing that struck me as I was looking at this was communion of the saints. And what did that really mean? And so I really started looking into the term communion itself. So what does communion mean? Communion means a sharing. You've probably heard the word koinonia. It's one that's kind of bantied around in Christian circles. And it has this idea of fellowship and of sharing, but it's very intimate. It has a very intimate connotation to it. In Acts 2:42, probably one of the more familiar passages in thinking about koinonia, Acts 2:42 says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles, the followers of Jesus. They were devoting themselves to the apostles, to their teaching, to fellowship, koinonia, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were giving time to being with one another, to encouraging one another, to have that intimate relationship with one another. So the koinonia with believers. But there's also this idea of the koinonia or the communion or this having this intimate relationship with God. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 3. So John chapter 1, verse 3. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father. That term's fellowship is koinonia, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not only fellowship with other believers, but literally fellowship with God, koinonia with God, this intimate relationship with God. Togetherness is very much a part of this, that we're to be together. 2 Corinthians 6:14 has some interesting terms here. 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, do not be bound together. That Greek word is heterozygio. I know, easy for you to say. Do not be bound together. It's that idea of don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership, and that's metake, have righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship, koinonia, has light with darkness? In this verse, those two words, the first two words, this is the only place it's used in all of the New Testament. That idea of don't be bound together, don't be unequally yoked, don't have that intimate relationship with unbelievers. That intimate spiritual relationship. Now, we need to have relationship with unbelievers. Otherwise, how are they going to become believers? But it's a different relationship than it is with believers. The idea of, you know, when it comes to marriage, if you're a believer, not marrying an unbeliever. It's a headache waiting to happen. And not thinking, well, you know, I'll get him saved after we're married, right? Well, sometimes that happens, but it's not the way to start out. Or this idea of this partnership, righteousness versus lawlessness, they don't belong together. They just don't belong together. Light and darkness, opposites, totally opposites. This idea of the togetherness. The communion of saints is what each of us has in common with other believers or saints. That's what they would call believers. We have been forgiven through Jesus' death and saved by his life. There's a oneness that we have with other believers because of our common faith, that common confession in Jesus Christ. John 17:21. John speaking here says that they may all be one, talking about believers, that they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, Jesus speaking, sorry, not John, that I am in you and you are in me, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So this picture of we as believers being a part of one another, being a part of God, so that when the world looks at us, they see something they want. They see Jesus in us because we have this oneness, not only with God the Father, not only with Jesus, but we have this oneness with one another. So the communion of the saints, what we have in common. And those of us that are believers, that we would be the ones that are called the saints, we have a common salvation. We have a common salvation. Romans 3:23 says that everyone has sinned. So we're all the same in that aspect. We've all sinned. There's not one that hasn't sinned other than Jesus Christ. All of us have sinned. And he goes on to say there in Romans that there's a penalty for sin, or there's a wage, and it's called death. That sin can only be dealt with through death. And so if we're never saved, the penalty of our sin is death. But praise God, he made the first move. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, all of us, Christ died for us." God made the first move. Continuing on in that passage, verse 9 says, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." The resurrection. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Because of Jesus' death, that penalty was paid for sin in the blood of Jesus. That's why then we can be reconciled to God. We can be in right standing before God if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, which is the next part. Romans 10:9. "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Who will be? All of us who confess Jesus as Lord. There's no only these or only those. It's everyone who confesses and believes will be saved. That's what God's word says. And God's word is true. We then are given the right to become his children. To become his children. We're adopted into his family. Ephesians 1:5 says, "He predestined us to adoption as children through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will." That we are literally adopted into God's family. We become his children. Prior to that, we're his creation. But we're not his children until we've accepted Jesus as Lord. John 1, verse 12, goes on to talk about how we've been given the right to become his children, those who believe on his name, that we're no longer born of just blood and flesh, but by the will of God. So as we participate in communion, we need to have this attitude in us that we are children of God, that we are part of a larger group, that it's not just us, it's all of us together. That oneness, that common salvation that we need to remember Jesus and what he did. That Jesus paid that ultimate price for sin because the sacrifice was required. And again, God was the one that made the sacrifice. He required a sacrifice. And then he made the sacrifice. We need to love each other. 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 16, it says, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing, koinonia, in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing, koinonia, in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." We are one. We need to be about loving each other and caring for each other and showing the world through that who Jesus is. Isn't that what he said? What are we to do so the world may know? We're to love one another so that the world will know that we're followers of him. Moving on in 1 Corinthians 10 down to verse 24, he says, "Let no one seek his own good but that of his neighbor." Now, one of the things to remember is 1 Corinthians 10 is right before 1 Corinthians 11. Right? He's setting them up. Because as he gets into 1 Corinthians 11, he's going to then start telling them, here's what you should have been doing in chapter 10. Verse 11, they're not doing it. They're not loving each other and taking care of each other and considering the other person is more important than themselves. 1 John 4:20 says, if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he's not seen. And that's what was happening in 1 Corinthians 11 when Paul was talking to them about coming together and celebrating the Lord's table. That they weren't coming together in love for one another. They weren't really even coming together for love of Christ. It was just another reason to party or, you know, just they just weren't doing it right. We are sharing in the body and the blood of Jesus as we celebrate together the Lord's Supper or communion because of our common or shared faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. So as we come to the Lord's table, we're not only remembering what Jesus did, but we're coming together as family. We're coming together as one body in Christ, where we're willing to love and care for one another so that we can show the world who Jesus is. The guys want to come on up. Let's pray. Father God, as we participate in communion, in the Lord's table here this morning, Father, I pray that you will help us. Help us to evaluate, you know, where we're at. You know, are we truly loving our brother, our sister? Are we loving you the way that we should? Are we giving you our whole being? Or are we reserving some of it for other things? Father, I ask that you would help us to come with that attitude of oneness. That we are all one in Jesus Christ. And Father, I would pray that, you know, if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't made that commitment to Jesus Christ, that they will consider Jesus today, that they will confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. That's all they have to do to be saved. Holy Spirit, work in our midst. If there's sin that we need to confess, let us do it. If there's relationships that we need to mend, let us do it. And if we're dealing with some things today, maybe today's not the day to participate in communion. There will be other days until we can get things the way that they should be. And that doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. But we're going to make sure our relationships are good. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus left the example to us on that last night he spent with his disciples when he was just about to give up his body and his blood for us. So as you take the bread this morning, do so in remembrance of what Jesus did for you. Take, eat. On that same night, he took the cup, and he said, "This is a representation of my blood that I shed for you." He says that every time we do it, we're to remember what he did. So this morning, take, drink in remembrance of Jesus. If you want to hand your cups towards the center, the guys will pick them up. One of the things I realized is I was sitting there that this is the last communion I'm going to celebrate with you guys for 3 months. So, Emma, you're funny. That helped, though. So we're going to be taking a sabbatical for 3 months, and you know, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, this is what I'm going to miss the most, is you all. You know, when I was encouraged to, no, you can't attend church while you're on sabbatical here. So, because I was thinking, oh, well, you know, we could. But anyway, we will take that advice and not not be participating here. So we are going to miss you guys. This isn't my last Sunday yet, but the last communion. So it's no good. We'll be back. So God bless you all. Have a great week.